I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, He entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit convulsed him, and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. You know, the Gospels are, of course, full of messages for us, and sometimes it's easy for us to miss exactly what that message is if we just want to read it on the surface and take it at face value. But this passage from the Gospel of Mark has a great deal to offer us if we use our interpretive skills and look at it in a more critical way, which means understanding when it was written and who it was written to. Mark, like the other gospel writers, had his community that he wanted to communicate with. And they understood the nuances in these stories. They didn't just look at it as that's the story. They looked beyond that. Mark is presenting us with something to, he's presenting something to his community and to us that is life-changing, and if we don't look at it with our interpretive skills, we're going to miss that life-changing message. And I'll tell you this, Mark also knew that a lot of people have a hard time changing. You ever noticed? They want to cling to what they know, even if it's not right. Well, let's delve into the scripture. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. What this tells us, number one, just putting on your interpretive cap, is that Jesus and his entourage arrived before the Sabbath. Right? Because it tells us he entered, and when the Sabbath came, and when the Sabbath came, so we know that he was there before then. And then he went into the synagogue and taught. And clearly, based on this, we have all kinds of information about Jesus who would actually wait for the Sabbath so that he could go in and speak. We can also surmise his teaching was quite good. How do we do that? Well, we can just look at how he says, and they were astounded at his teaching. Must have been good. You don't usually get astounded unless something really good has happened. They didn't say they were devastated by it. They were hurt by it. They were astounded by his teaching, and that's a good thing. So Mark goes on to tell us Jesus taught with authority, not like the scribes. What's the message to Mark's community? Listen to Jesus, not the scribes. Jesus is the one with authority. I think we can extrapolate from this. When Mark says Jesus taught with authority, it means that Jesus knew and understood Scripture and what he was saying. The scribes just repeated words. They would read, but they didn't really know and understand. So if we do that, if we just look at it from this point, is this Mark's message for his community and us, that Jesus taught with authority? Is that all we can take from this? Well, let's look. It says, just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? This man come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. This man came in and said, "Us." Now, some of us may be thinking, well, there's Legion. You know, Legion had a bunch of different spirits in him. That's not what this is. If it were, Mark would tell us that. Now, if we look at this scripture, only as a man with an unclean spirit who confronted Jesus, again, we'll miss the point, because what he is really talking about, I want you to think about this, put your interpretive caps on. What Mark is telling his community is, it's the scribes. That's what he's saying. He's saying that the man represents the scribes. Keep in mind, Mark was written around 50 AD. We still had the Jewish community, the scribes. The Christians weren't doing quite so well. There were still people out to kill them, still Jews that would run them out of town. So Mark says to his community, you're going to have the scribes come and talk to you, but they do not know what they're talking about. They don't speak with authority, but Jesus does. And you need to be paying attention to Jesus. Notice the words used by this man, the foil. Have you come to destroy us? And us, that's the scribes. Mark tells his community, do not be taken in by the scribes who reject Jesus. Do not believe their teachings, which are contrary to the teachings of Jesus. And you know why you shouldn't? Because the scribes' teachings are demonic. It's what he's saying. This is the message he's putting out to his community. And yes, the scribes did convulse every time they heard the teachings of Jesus because they knew the people were astounded by his teachings and they weren't listening to them. There's a difference in saying something with authority and just saying something. People listened to Jesus because of the authority. The scribes hated him. They hated him. You know, for many years, Sir Walter Scott was the leading literary figure in England. I mean, he wrote Ivanhoe and Rob Roy. He was really quite famous, and no one could write as well as he. Then the works of Lord Byron showed up. And when they began to appear, their greatness was immediately evident. Soon, an anonymous critic praised Byron's poems in a London paper. He declared that in the presence of these brilliant works of poetic genius, Scott could no longer be considered the leading poet of England. Rather devastating. Until you find out that it was Sir Walter Scott that wrote that article. Isn't that something? He wrote that article. Soon an anonymous critic, I mean, we were left to believe that somebody other than, but we find out that it was actually Scott who praised Lord Byron. Now, why is that important? Well, let's think about the story in Mark, because there's two things we can look at in this story. We can look at jealousy and envy. Do you know the difference between jealousy and envy? To envy is to want something which belongs to another person. Remember this text, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, his wife, or his servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Envy. In contrast, jealousy is the fear something which we possess will be taken away by another person. Although jealousy can apply to our jobs, our possessions, or our reputations, the word more often refers to anxiety which comes when we are afraid the affections of a loved one might be lost to a rival. We fear that our spouse, or perhaps even our children, will be lured away by some other person who, compared to us, seems to be more attractive and capable and successful. Jesus went through the community and people listened to him and followed him. The scribes used to be the ones, but then here comes Jesus. And they become jealous and they say, wait a minute, you're taking our people away. And Jesus' message is, they're not your people, they're God's people. And if you're trying to hold them in your faith, in the way you believe, then you've missed the point of the message that God has for his people. Mark clearly points out the scribes feared Jesus taking away their authority. He clearly points out to his community, Jesus' teachings are quite amazing and authoritative. There was no envy, just jealousy. If there were any doubt as to whom Mark's community should follow, who they should listen to, he removes that doubt by directing them to the authority of Jesus Christ. And why should they listen to Jesus? Because the message of Jesus was and is relevant to us here and now. And Jesus says, you're preaching something that happened in the Old Testament. I'm bringing you a message from God about today. Today. That's relevant. If I tell you how to go home and take care of your donkey, how to take care of a well that you're digging, you're not going to listen because you don't have that, do you? That's not relevant to you. But how to get through this society, this way of living, this community, that's what's relevant. That's what Jesus brought. He brought relevancy. He's saying, here's what you need to do today. The demons, Mark points to us, are those who possess us as a community, as a nation, and as members of the human race, and we need to cast them out. And in order to do that, we must be able to name them. We must be able to name them. Now, can you name the demons in your life? I'm going to give you some examples. Losing faith in God. Losing faith in our fellow human beings. Hopelessness. Homophobia. Racism, sexism, classism. Religious and ideological intolerance. Violence in the home. Violence at school. Poverty, terrorism, war, greed, and paranoia. Those are all demons. And you can probably come up with even more. Until we name those demons, we can't deal with them. Oftentimes, and I know this sounds crazy, but it's true. At one time, I was, in addition to having a church, I was made a director of a drug and alcohol program. And I watched people come in and they did not realize that drugs and alcohol were their problem, and yet the police brought them and checked them in. And until they realized that's what the problem was, they couldn't deal with it. No, that's not the problem. The problem is my parents were mean to me as a kid, or my problem is, no, your problem, drugs, alcohol, that's your problem. You got to name it. Then you can deal with it. If any of those hit home with you as being a demon, is that not also relevant to today? It's about you, about what's going on in your life. That makes it relevant. That's what Jesus did. Unless we name the demons, they will name us. They will control us and quite possibly destroy us. And as in Jesus' time, when you start naming them, you can become quite unpopular. And while it is certainly recommended we pray the demons be removed, it is equally important that we do something about it. And that is yet another problem, is all too often we may name a demon. Yep, that demon is this bottle of booze. We don't get rid of it. We're still drinking it. But we know that's the demon. Jesus says, if you see the demon, if you can name the demon, get rid of the demon. You see, and the scribes and the Pharisees and all of those people are saying, but you got to go to the Old Testament. See, that wasn't a problem back then. You know, it wasn't a problem to say an eye for an eye. Was for Jesus. But in the Old Testament, well, if they do you wrong, you do them wrong. They shoot at you, you shoot at them. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. That's two different teachings, folks. It's a different world. Mark calls his community to action. He encourages them to follow the example of Jesus, and when confronted with demons, cast them out, and to do the actions that will be necessary to make that happen. Jesus realized to confront demons can create an intensely personal struggle within each of us. But it is either the struggle to believe change can really happen and a better world is possible or not. We've got to believe. We've got to believe that change can really happen and that we can have a better world. And that's relevant to today, is it not? You've been watching TV lately? Seen the news? Mark tells us, do not live like those of the Old Testament because that's old. Notice how it starts, Old Testament. He says, I want to bring you in to the New Testament, to a new way of thinking. I want you to see the relevancy of Jesus' message as compared to those of the Old Testament. And what is one of the major differences, or more? There's more major difference. Join our Lord and Savior and come into the new way, the New Testament, where love rules and forgiveness abounds. Folks, you look in the Old Testament, that's different. Love does not rule, and forgiveness does not abound. There's a story where a salesman's driving through a town, and as he drives through the town, he sees this sign for a little cafe. He decides, well, I'm pretty hungry, so I'm going to stop at that cafe. He parks, and the first thing he notices is the windows of the cafe are dirty. It's kind of hard to even see inside. Well, he goes on in. As he walks in, he looks and he notices the tabletops are dirty. He sits down and he notices that all the waitresses are sitting off to the side talking to each other. Don't even come and ask him what he wants. And then he smells something really bad and it's coming from the kitchen. One of the ladies finally hollers out, do you need something? He said, oh no, and he gets up and leaves. You ever had that experience? I actually have. So, months later, he comes back through that town and he notices a new sign. He thinks, well, that's an improvement. He pulls up and he notices he can see through the glass. The glass is clean. And then he sees a sign that says under new management. And he thinks, well, I'll try. So he gets out of his car and he goes into this little cafe and he sits down and the waitress is right there as soon as he sits down. And he smells wonderful food, so he orders the food. The food comes, best food he's ever eaten. Could not believe it. Under new management, you see, that restaurant made a change. They changed. They got someone in there who knew what they were doing, and they made it better. So the man is so happy. And he knows that under new management means a lot, and it should mean a lot to us, because when you read Scripture until you get to the New Testament, folks, you haven't gotten to the new management. It's amazing. Mark, through the actions of Jesus, invites us into the New Testament, the new teachings, where we are no longer to see dirty windows of hate, the dirty tabletops of jealousy, and the people of the Old Testament who clamored for power through brutality. And the world Jesus offers, we name the demons and we remove them from our lives by living the gospel. It's not an eye for an eye. It's not, I'm going to beat you into submission, or I'm going to kill you if you don't do what I want. It's, I'm going to love you regardless of what you do, and I'm going to love you as Jesus loves me and Jesus loves you. That's the New Testament. How about you? What has your life been like lately with the pandemic? Having to hibernate, basically. Is your temper getting short? Are you having problems? Are you in need of changing some things? Sometimes what we need to change is our attitude. makes a difference. We may not be able to go out and do the things that we used to do, but we're still the children of God, and we are those who believe in Jesus Christ. And that should make all the difference in the world. Do you see how relevant this gospel is to your life and living in peace? When you read the scripture, if it isn't relevant to your life, how can it speak to you? Look deeper and understand that our gospel writers are writing to us a much bigger story than what you read. If you just take it at the surface, you're going to miss. Mark says the scribes are giving bad teaching. Don't listen. Stick with Jesus. And that's what I say to you. Stick with Jesus. That's what's really relevant. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come before you this day, we come as a people seeking your guidance and your understanding. And Lord, we know we're going through a most difficult time. It is hard for us knowing that we can't just go out and do the things we used to do, be around the people that we used to be around. We have to wear masks. We have to use hand sanitizer. There are so many things that are different in our world today, but one thing is not different, Lord, and that's that you're with us, that you will sustain us, and you will hold us in your loving hands. Be with us, guide us, and help us, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.